This is not about me, but I have to tell you something about me in order to express my appreciation for camp and help you to understand why camp has become so precious to me over the years. My parents were married by the Postas in the Eastside Pentecostal Church. And then as they moved over to Ozone Park, the Postas dedicated my brother, myself, and my two sisters. And then when I was 6 years old, we moved out to Long Island, out in Suffolk County. Seemed like the boondocks back then. No Long Island Expressway or any of those major highways built yet. Every once in a while, the Postas would show up at our door. They'd call ahead, of course, and they wanted to visit and continue to encourage my parents and the family. And I was just a little boy, but I remember as they sat in the, I sat on the floor in the living room. Before they left, we always had time of worship. And I was fascinated by Brother Poster and Sister Emma praising the Lord the way they did. Hallelujah, very melodic and mysterious. And then he would share something with us from the Word of God and ask us how we're doing in our soul and all those good things. And then we'd get out to Ozone Park every once in a while, but it was here and there. We attended an Assembly of God church, Baptist church for a while, and then an Assembly of God church. And there I found the Lord as my Savior, baptized by Pastor Jim Rayner out in Shirley, Long Island. And as we got into our teen years, my hair began to grow and my jeans began to fray. And my parents, I suppose, had some concerns. So they said, let's get those kids to Pilgrim Camp. Thank God for a place sort of like a city of refuge. I can see them running there, right, with us under their arms. We got to get them to camp. And I came onto camp, and I'm sure I looked quite the part, my brother as well. The people were kind to us. And the Lord met me here in such a wonderful way. There was something different about camp than my home church, as good as it was. I didn't fully understand what that was, but I was yet to find out. And so after I graduated high school in 1975, my dad said, Ken, I found there's a little Bible school out in Oyster Bay called Long Island Bible Institute. You want to go see that with me? I think he and Mom had an idea that God's hand was on me. I said, sure. Why not? The place wasn't very impressive, outwardly. But the thought of learning more of God's Word for a year, that interested me. I had come to know Jesus and was learning to love His Word, and I thought, well, I can put off college for a year and spend some time studying the Bible. That'll do me good. Well, 1 year turned to 2 years. And then there were some administrative problems, and I was thinking, well, I really need to get back to pursuing a career of some sort. So I registered for Suffolk Community College, and then my father had another idea. He said, I just found out that Brother Carl Saylor is retiring from being caretaker of Pilgrim Camp, and during this transition, the Gardeners are moving up to camp, and they're looking for some young men that might join them to help take care of the grounds and so on. And while they're there, they'll have Bible classes. They can wait on the Lord and seek God for His will. Well, I knew that I needed that because I didn't really know what I was to do with my life. I was going to college because it was the thing to do, and I felt I needed to move in some direction. But I really was not, I had really no, not sure at all as to what God had in mind for me. And so I remember, I asked Brother Gordon, can I come and live up at camp, or I would like to know more about that. First thing he did was laugh. You're a Bible school student. That's not for you. And I said, why not? That surprised me, that I didn't just crawl under the table. And well, you know, we do things different here. And he tried to explain a little bit about what they had in mind and tried to tell me all the hard work that was going to be to scare me away. He said, well, I'll tell you what, you go home and you pray about it and I'll give you a call and tell me what the Lord shows you. Well, I didn't know. I never heard the Lord show me anything or so before. So he called me up. So what did the Lord show you? I said, I really don't know. I still would like to come, though. I'm still interested. Well, you keep praying. We'll call you back. And so I prayed, and then he told me that the Lord showed them that they should accept me. And so after a funeral service, I was to meet him at Floral Park for a funeral service, Manuel's mother, something like that. And then I was to drive Brother Gordon up in my little Opel GT. It was quite a sight. Longest ride of my life, as you can imagine. I didn't know him well, and he was a bit stern, friendly. But I thought, well, here we go. And so he took me up to camp away that I had never gone before. And I could tell you everything about Mary Hutchinson. This is Hutchinson River Parkway. And for the next hour, he told me the whole story of, is it Mary? I don't know who it was. Anne. See, history was not one of my fortes. And then he went to sleep and said, wake me up when you get to the top of the Taconic. And so we did. That was an interesting year. I remember going into my room that night. Mike Corrigan was yet on his way. I think it was raining. I closed the door. Then I said, what did I get myself into? But 1 year turned to 2 years. And then 2 years turned to 2.5. And then I was asked to go help Bowie Curry, who had gone to Fredericksburg, Virginia, to help Brother Andrews. And while he was there, Brother Andrews was sick and passed away. So the gardener said, well, you guys counseled together. Perhaps you should go down and help him. So I did. And 1 year turned to 2 years, and then 2 years turned to 2.5. And then Bowie married Sister Susan's sister Barbara Liebman. And he didn't need me anymore. No, he never told me that. But Brother Edwin, or Brother Eddie, or both, got in touch with me and said, would you consider coming to help in New York, in Ridgewood? You could work with the young people and sit on the platform with us and see what the Lord has. So I prayed about that and felt that that was the right move to make. And so I came back home to New York, and I settled in Ridgewood, lived in the Faith Home for 5 years. And in the beginning, I was helping in Ridgewood, and I didn't speak German. That was a problem. For Sunday morning, they still had German-speaking services. So that's when the Bowers said, would you like to come and help us in Canarsie? You can be with us on Sunday morning and work with the young people. And so for a long time, over 17 years, I'm sure, I went to Ridgewood and Canarsie on Sunday. And throughout the week, those were my two churches. Sort of like Walter Kaert. He's been doing that for many years. And so here I am today because of Pilgrim Camp, because of my dad and mom. You know, it's good. Someone said to me this morning, I tell young people, it's good to listen to your parents. You know, even Jesus at the wedding of Cana, he considered what Mary had to say, didn't he? His mother. Oh, he got his light from his heavenly father, I'm sure. But he considered her suggestion, as I did with my parents. Well, maybe Bible school would be nice. Maybe camp would be interesting. But that changed my life. Because there were people that loved me and prayed for me. And God uses those people in your life to help guide you when you need direction. And when I came to camp, you know, I had learned and I had studied the doctrines of the Bible in Bible school. The doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of healing, the doctrine of prayer, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. But when I came to camp, I found out the Holy Spirit isn't a doctrine, nor is salvation or healing or prayer. They're not just doctrines. They're not just teachings. They're not just things that we believe and adhere to. But there's a life. The Holy Spirit is the life of Jesus. We can know him. We can be filled with him. We can be led by him. And I began to hear things at camp that I had never heard before. Things like Jesus wants you more than you want him. I remember sitting in the meetings and Brother Gardner would say that. And I think, Jesus wants me? What does he want with me? Why would he want fellowship with me? What do I have to offer? I can understand my wanting him. But you know, hearing that he wanted me drew me to him. And then we were asked to read the book Radiant Glory as one of our first textbooks here at camp. And I read of the life of Mrs. Robinson. And I was amazed. I said, I've read these things in the Bible, but I didn't realize that you could really know him like this. That when it says I'm crucified with Christ, it's not just words, but that the Holy Spirit can so subdue our old nature and cause Jesus to fill us, that we can really know him, that he can move in us and live in us and possess us fully. And we were told of that life. Brother Gordon knew her personally, and he told us of her life and how here was a woman who was fully surrendered to the Lord, fully possessed by the Holy Ghost. And she lived in the presence of Jesus, and Christ lived in her, and what blessing flowed from her life. And we could see it because there were so many people who had been so impacted by her life and ministry that their lives were absolutely transformed. Brother Hans Walfogel and others. And then I listened to tapes by Brother Hans. On Wednesdays, we used to have a day of prayer there in the prayer room. And often we would listen to a tape of Brother Hans. And then we'd pray. I remember one meeting. I had heard a number of Brother Hans tapes. And I thought, that's so wonderful the way you came to Brother Hans. So wonderful. The way you revealed yourself to that man. And I remember praying, Jesus, won't you do that for me? It's nice to hear of our brother Hans. But I wanted him to do that for me too. And God began something in me. It's very precious. And then I heard about people like Elder Brooks and Sarah Brooks and Mary Elizabeth Judd and some of these other saints living there in the faith home. And then living here at camp, I met people like Joseph and Brother and Sister Wanamaker and Dr. Gray and Sister Young, these people that just walked with God. I remember when Miss Young came onto the grounds, somebody said to me, when that woman came on the grounds, I could feel it. She was so filled with the presence of Jesus. I remember 1979, we had a Labor Day retreat. And she was the guest speaker. And then after the retreat, she stayed on. She was such a blessing. She said things in that meeting that I thank God to this day that I was there to hear it, because they were life-changing for me. And then there was a host of ministers and missionaries. And then I lived with the Gardeners. I got to see them day in and day out. And for 2.5 years, came to love them. Got to live with Sister Greeley. What a precious woman she was. And also a variety of scrub brushes of various shapes and sizes I also lived with. I was probably one of them. Brother Tom and Brother Bowie and others. Brother Mike. Tom still has trouble forgiving me for buying him a mute for his trumpet on his birthday. Praise God. And then I learned songs. I have seen the face of Jesus. Tell me not of aught beside. I have heard the voice of Jesus, and my soul is satisfied. He shed his blood on Calvary. He saves me by his grace. I find my all in Jesus, my eternal resting place. Since mine eyes were fixed on Jesus, I've lost sight of all beside. So enchained my spirit's vision, looking at the crucified. I like this one. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, But on his pierced hand, the lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. And I think one that has become my favorite is Jesus. Thou joy of loving hearts, thou fount of life, thou light of men, from the best bliss that earth imparts, we turn unfilled to thee again. And here at camp, I was taught that I could really know him, that I could really be filled with him, that everything in my Christian life flows out of my relationship with Jesus. Christianity isn't a bunch of doctrines that we follow, but it's a person. Salvation is a person. His name is Jesus. He comes to live in us and to fill our lives with his glory. And then I experienced here the power of the Holy Spirit working in my life. All those gifts that God had set into his vessels, how they have brought Jesus to us and made him more real to us. Oh, people talk about gifts nowadays, and they entertain themselves with the gifts, and they want to tell each other how great they are and what great things God's going to do for them. But you know, I experienced something different as Brother Gardner or his wife laid hands on me. First of all, I knew that they were godly people that took these things very seriously. And God spoke through them. And I remember a number of times as they ministered to me, how I broke and wept. It was just the Holy Spirit operating on me. And they spoke words to me. Sometimes they were a great help and encouragement just right then and there. And then there were things that were said that even years later, the Lord brought back to me. And they were just right for the situation that I was to find myself in. I experienced the coming of his presence in the meetings. Learned to wait on God. Experienced him coming to me through his word. Brother Hans was told, from what I understand, I want you to leave Pentecost and follow me. And I wondered what that meant. And over the years, I've thought about that. The Ridgewood Pentecostal Church is still called the Ridgewood Pentecostal Church. He never changed that, did he? But you see the direction that Pentecost has gone. Some have run after the gifts and other experiences. Some have lost the power of God, and they have substituted so many things to try to draw the people instead of depending on the Holy Spirit himself and the power of God to get hold of hearts and reveal Christ. And Brother Hans, it seems to me that he held to this light of Jesus himself being our all in all. And he didn't go and follow the trends that came and went. But by God's grace, he was true to the light that God put in his heart. And he passed that on to those that ministered under him and that he ministered to. One time, he said the Lord told him, preach Christ, not sermons. You know, there's a difference. You can work hard at your three-point sermon, and even harder to get all the words to start with the same letter. I like those. Those are good. I don't come up with them very often. But you know, we've got so many sermons. I like what Jim Cimbala says. If the world could be changed by sermons, we would have been changed by now. But we need Jesus. To preach Christ, not sermons. To yield yourself to the Holy Ghost and let him speak through you. Words of life. They asked him, how long does it take you to prepare a sermon? I think he said something like about 40 years. I live that. I have to live it every day. I have to immerse myself in the Word of God. I have to walk in his presence. One time, I'm told that he was going to preach somewhere, and someone said, what are you going to preach about? He said, I don't know. I didn't get the smell of the place yet. But he wanted to be led by the Lord. And we saw that in the garden, as we saw that in Brother Edwin and the other ministers that God had brought into my life. And when I think of all these precious ministers that God has brought into my life and how they took an interest in me, I'm ashamed of myself, because I should be much further along than I am. But to really honor the memory of these servants of God that we're thinking about in these days is not to say I lived with Brother Gardner or I was baptized by Brother Hans. That's good. I hope you got real wet. But you know, yes, we are pleased to have that association, but we honor them by living what they taught us. And in these days that we're together, there's a lot of heart searching going on, isn't there? We're reminded of these examples. We're reminded of things that they said. We rejoice in God's faithfulness to keep the camp and the light burning all these years. But the question that we have to go home asking ourselves is, am I doing what they said? How is that with me? Am I following that teaching? Am I applying it to my life? Am I walking with God? Am I striving to know Him better? Am I giving Him the time that He needs to work in my life? I'll read you one verse because it's time to close. And that I see in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Somebody complimented me without realizing it. He said, you know, I come up to Pilgrim Camp, and in my church, oh, they're very good sermons, and the pastor's very intelligent, and he said, but sometimes they're so complicated. He said, then I come to Pilgrim Camp, and the word that comes forth is so simple, and it touches my heart. Well, that was a compliment. Somebody told me one time, they said, you know, Brother Edwin Walfogel, Brother Gordon Gardner, these men, it was Brother Hofflander that told me this. He said, these men are highly intelligent men. Brother Hans, they're well read. They know their Bibles, but they have deliberately kept the message simple. So that we can benefit by that message. And here, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and in the third verse there, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What did Jesus tell his disciples when he first called them? He just said, follow me. Follow me. And then, around that fire in John 21, he renewed that call to Peter, follow me. And in Revelation, it tells us that these are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And so we have been taught that simple message, follow Jesus. Don't get complicated. Don't get tied up with doctrines and church stuff. But keep it simple. Love him with all your heart. Serve him with all that is within you. Go where he wants you to go and be what he wants you to be. And if you follow him, then you'll be where he wants you to be when he wants you there, doing what he wants you to do. If any man serve me, let him follow me, that where I am, there shall my servant be also. Praise God. Let's sing Follow. Follow, I will follow Jesus. Amen. 376. Thank you. 376. I see here that we have some activities at... Am I looking at the right schedule? I probably am. Yes, we have some activities 10 minutes ago. And now we're going to move on to lunch after that. Let's stand together as we sing that. 376.
Jesus told me I must follow, follow me. We thank you, dear Lord, for what we've heard this morning of your goodness, your faithfulness to camp, to the people of God. We thank you for our leaders who have gone before us. We thank you for those who have spoken to us the word of God.
Yes, Lord.
We pray, Lord, that you'll give us grace to follow you and the example that they have left us in following after you. Strengthen these truths in our hearts. Let the light shine brighter, O God. Let the Holy Spirit minister today to every one of us. Speak to us, Lord. Draw us this day, and we will run after you. Bless this day before us, the times of fellowship. Lord, manifest your presence to everyone here on these grounds. Throughout this day, we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.